Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week on Sunday afternoon by email, and I think you'll like it. Thousands and thousands of you do, and more every week, and I appreciate all of you who subscribe. And thank you so much to all of you who write in and tell me how much the information that we provide in our newsletter means to you. That means a lot to me, believe it or not. It really does. Let me tell you who our guest is this half hour. Cy Charney is our new friend. He's the president of Charney and Associates Incorporated, an organizational and individual performance improvement consulting firm based out of beautiful Toronto, Canada. He's the author of a number of books, including The Manager's Toolkit, The Trainer's Toolkit, The Portable Mentor, and his new book, which is dynamite. It's an Amacom book. It's called The Instant Sales Pro. Cy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for being here today. And, Cy, one of the things that my audience knows is that I like talking about sales training, salesmanship, a lot, because I believe something that I was told many years ago, and I know you know this too, and that's that nothing happens until somebody sells something.
Exactly.
And the other thing that you talk a lot about in your book that I want us to focus on a little bit, at least at the beginning, is who the most important person is in the whole selling process. Tell us who that is.
I think it's the person that answers the phone. And I call that person your director of first impressions. And that person, he or she, is the person that might put someone through to a salesperson. But they really create an impression of the organization and its willingness to meet the needs of customers and how friendly you are towards people that call in.
Unfortunately, a lot of companies give that job to the least qualified, least paid, newest person in the whole organization.
Yes,
and the person with the least training.
Absolutely.
Why do we do that?
Well, I think it's an oversight, and I think it's a very poor oversight. But it's something we need to do much better. The person that answers the phone is so important in creating the right impression and giving a sense to the customer that we're there for you.
I called a company the other day that I do business with, and I talked. It was a different division of their company, and the young lady who answered the phone did a very, very poor job of taking my information and dealing with me. She wasn't rude or anything. It was just very unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
so at the end of the transaction, I said, what is your job there? And she said, I'm the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. How long have you been there? She said, a year. And she said, why? I said, well, you sound like you've been talking to me for the last 5 minutes, sounds to me like you just got there.
Yeah.
And apparently that got back to the manager somehow, and he called me and asked me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, she wasn't rude to me, and I wasn't rude to her. It's just that it wasn't the kind of performance I would expect out of somebody who'd been doing their job for a year. And he was glad to know about that.
Right. And probably that person hasn't had the feedback from her boss and also doesn't have minimum standards that are really important that he or she needs to know they need to do. So when they answer the phone, for example, they would greet you, they would tell you what their name is and ask how they could help you. You know, that really gives you an impression that you are important to them. And if they don't have those minimum standards and if their boss is not giving them the feedback, then they're likely to kind of stay in the same place on a continuous basis.
Cy, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, all this out, because when I used to do sales training full-time, a company would do business with me, the only way I would do business with them, I worked with small companies and banks, small banks. And the only way I would do business with them would be if they let me train every person in the organization from the courier to the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And that included the receptionist. And we taught those people how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
how to take care of the customer.
Right.
Who is really the most important person in our business, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it really is important to train people, but also to bear in mind, Jim, that a lot of the training happens after the workshop. People don't retain more than probably 50% of what they learn in a workshop, and the most important training happens afterwards in the interaction of the person with their boss. And when their boss follows them and asks them what they've learned and how they can implement the tools and encourages them and gives them feedback, then there's a much greater opportunity and probability that they're actually going to use the skills. So it's the signals that the boss sends out about how important the training is and how we're going to follow up. It really makes a difference between good training and bad training.
You've got to reinforce. You got to reinforce and maintain this training that you give your people, folks. When we come back, we're going to get Cy to talk to us about something he calls meeting customers' needs. Right after these messages, 22. Stay with us.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand.
We're back. It is 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend Cy Charney, the author of The Instant Sales Pro. Let me remind you about our show coming up straight ahead. I'm going to do some more resolutions. I've got some more things I want to talk about there. And then Beverly Williams is going to join us. We're going to talk about home-based business issues. And then we're going to have our weekly visit with Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And that's coming up in the show straight ahead. And we got a lot more to come all the rest of the week. And next week's looking good, too. So I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. I want to get back to Cy as we talk about him, how to make sure that we do the right thing, taking care of our customers so that we can increase our sales and solidify these relationships with these really important people, our customers. Let's turn our attention to customers, Cy. And you've got some great words of wisdom in your book about how to make sure we take care of our customers. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Well, the most important thing, Jim, is to know what your customers want. And if we've established what our customers want and what they need, we need to make sure that they receive those things. So there was some really interesting research done probably 15 years ago by a consulting company in Washington, D.C., and what they discovered is not a great surprise, is that the customers want five things primarily. The first one is reliability, so that whatever you promise, you actually deliver. The second one is also not a surprise, and that's speed. People want it, and they want it now, or they want it yesterday.
Now, don't they?
Yeah, so one thing is done really quickly. I mean, if you think about yourself at an ATM, if there's someone paying two or three bills in front of you, it's really frustrating. Standing in the line of the bank is really frustrating. So people want things done really quickly. The third thing people want is empathy, so that if you can't help them, you have a clear understanding of their needs, and you empathize with them, and you tell them how you're going to solve their problem. So empathy and listening go hand in hand. The fourth thing is knowledgeable people. And I think many of your listeners are probably often frustrated when they're calling into a call center and dealing with problems on their computer, and the mm-hmm. person on the other side is continuously putting them on hold because mm-hmm. they don't have the knowledge. So that's frustrating. It also affects the time issue. And the fifth one, which is a little bit of a surprise, is tangibility. And those are the physical things that we see and touch and smell and taste and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have a meal in a restaurant and it's magnificently presented like a piece of art. And sometimes it's just slopped into the plate. So that's the fifth one. So people want us to be reliable, fast, empathetic, knowledgeable, and provide the tangible items.
And also, you mm-hmm. have a sixth one there, too. And that's
well,
value.
You could think about, are you going to give me the answer?
The value.
Ah, good.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking, Cy, as you were talking about these three things, folks, I'm going to read those again because I think it's important. Think about this as in your small business. Reliability, speed, empathy, knowledge, tangibility, and value. You know, Cy, when I looked at those six things and I thought about small business owners, that all we do all six of those things, all of them, better than any large company can do it. And to me, I think it's so important for you to point that out, and that small business owners, you know, sometimes we run around, Cy, thinking that we're at a disadvantage because we're small, we're undercapitalized, we got all these challenges, and you know what? Some of those things are true, but when in terms of taking care of the customer, which is the most important person in our business, that nobody takes a back seat to small business.
I think that's absolutely true. We have good instincts about these particular needs, but I think what we need to do is to take them from the back of our mind to the forefront, and also make the small number of people around us very conscious of those needs that customers have. And indeed, we can run circles around big companies.
Well,
and that flexibility.
And from a sales standpoint, Si, one of the things that I see businesses of all sizes getting into trouble is they start trying to sell people what they need to sell.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on these six things, which is giving customers what they want to buy, not us trying to sell them what we have to sell.
Right. We're meeting a need, not selling a product.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the successful 21st century companies are learning that, and they're doing this because, you know, Si, selling, you've been around as long as I have, selling is different today in terms of getting in front of the customer. That's different than it was 30 years ago.
Hmm.
It's a lot different because, you know, we don't go call on purchasing agents and sitting there in their waiting rooms and, you know, lined up like a bunch of salespeople and going in to call on people. I mean, people are buying things a lot differently than they were 20, 30 years ago. Don't you think so?
Yes, and I think the Internet, of course, has changed the game totally as well.
Yep.
People have many more options. People are much more aware. People are more knowledgeable. And they're more independent, and they're more empowered. They have many more rights than they had. And so they're in the driver's seat. And so the need to really be in tune with where they are and meet those needs and treat them with incredible respect is just that much more important.
Well, and you know,
have so many more options.
You talked about knowledge in here. In the old days, we were the dictionary, we were the encyclopedia for products and for our industry that we gave our customers. Today, our customers they've already acquired the basic understanding of what we sell and what we do. They need the higher level of technical capability, the higher level of knowledge, and that's something small business owners really do well.
Yes. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
So, folks, the thing that, and that's one of the things that I liked about your list here, Si, is how important it is for small business owners. Folks, if you can get that list and look at it, I think you see that you've got a lot of advantages, especially even when you're out selling to customers. Ten Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Si Charney, the author of Instant Sales Pro. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Si Charney is our guest. Let me spell his last name. I'll spell both of them for you. C-Y is his first name, and his last name is C-H-A-R-N-E-Y. Si Charney. The book is called The Instant Sales Pro. I'm sure it's available wherever books are sold, right, Si?
It is.
And
In fact, I was down in the States about a week ago, and I went to a couple of border stores, and there was the book. That was lovely to see.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That'll warm your cockles right up there. Hey, Si,
give
us your website, please.
It's www.askcharney, that's one word, askcharney.com.
Okay, askcharney.com, and tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find a list of the services, the training services that we provide, the consulting services we provide, and some of the associates that I have. There's a list of articles. And one of the things that I'm most proud of, actually, Jim, is I've created a whole new learning system, and it's called peer mentoring. So for salespeople, for example, using the book that we've been talking about, I actually go into organizations and train people to train themselves. Hmm. You know, the old maxim of give someone a fish, you feed them
right,
for the
right,
day.
Right.
But if you teach them how to fish, they can feed themselves for a lifetime. So I teach people how to teach. And then I give them the resource materials, and they take about an hour a month, and each one takes a topic, and they teach one another these topics once a month.
And that's available from your website?
Yes. There's a section there called peer mentoring, and it's a most exciting way of building confidence and skills in people and particularly salespeople, because they have a tremendous amount of pride. They usually have good articulation skills, and they love to kind of strut their stuff in front of one another. But the important thing is when you engage your staff in teaching one another, they remember 95% of what they teach each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to a workshop, they only remember probably 50 or 60% at best. When they teach each other and engage each other, the retention is incredible.
That's a very interesting thing that you've observed there. That anything you can do to increase the retention level is worth the investment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think it's a really important thing, Jim. When you have your monthly meeting, devote half to business, but devote half to learning, and get people who have particular skills involved in teaching their colleagues. Anytime someone does go to an outside workshop, what they should be challenged to do is to bring back those skills and teach others, because again, it's going to increase their retention and give them a real sense of confidence and accomplishment.
Another thing that I used to do in my sales training programs is have the people who are being trained, have them conduct role plays among themselves.
Wonderful, yes.
Role plays are really great ways to train people how to sell, aren't they?
They are. And when you experience it, you actually remember 80%, but still the most powerful way is to have to teach what you just learned to someone else. Discussion is also really important. You can actually remember up to 70%. But the experiential side is most important in any learning. Just lecture-type learning is of little value.
Well, the reason why I like what you're saying about having them teach each other and the retention benefits of that is we don't have enough time most people will tell you, I don't have time to train my employees. Well, we can't afford not to do it, but when we do spend the time, when we do invest the time and the money in training, we need to make sure we take away as much as possible.
Yeah, there's a really interesting saying that I remember, and it says that if you think training is expensive, you might want to calculate the cost of ignorance.
Right.
And that's a lot more expensive than training. Training
that's
is
exactly
probably the best investment you can make, and people are your most underutilized resource, and anything we can do to utilize their capacity more is a tremendously good investment.
The companies that use the brain power of all their employees to the maximum possible are the ones that really do the best. But it takes a really mature and a really confident manager and a wise manager to be able to do that too, though, because you've got to subordinate a lot of yourself to these people to let them take over that much.
Yeah, well, that's a really satisfying thing of any leader. My definition of leadership is that leadership's ability to develop leaders and not followers.
Right.
So you're investing in their knowledge and expertise and then empowering them. Such a satisfying thing when you can see them growing, and maybe they'll take your job, because the only way you can get promoted if you're in an organization is to train people to take your job.
Absolutely.
But if you're worrying about them and constantly monitoring people and not training people, you can never get promoted yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm going to have to wrap it up because we're coming up on the end of the hour. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll come back again one day.
Jim, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cy Charney, ladies and gentlemen. Give us your website again.
www.askcharney.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cy. See you later.
Okay, Jim.
I
got to
go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Continue to seek excellence, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.